For a few verses of scripture I'd like to read, but start with just one. It's on page one. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I was speaking to a person earlier this week, and he asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am." And asked him, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "No, I'm a pagan." I don't exactly know what that means. I'm not quite sure what a pagan is. But anyway, had a chat with him, and I asked him, "Well, what do you believe?" And he said to me, "Well, I believe in the God that created your God." Okay, and so it got me thinking about God and about how He is Creator. He's not created, and it brought me right back to the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God. God was in the beginning. He existed before time began. He is not created. He existed before time began. He created time. God exists in a sphere where he is the ultimate being. There is no one greater than him. He is the ultimate being. And because of this, he was able to create time. The whole reason of him creating time was... The whole reason of him creating time was to create us, and he wanted to create us as unique individuals. He created time. He existed before time. He created time, and he created each one of us as unique individuals. He didn't want us as robots. He wanted us as unique individuals. You see, in man's mind, because we are created, because we are creations, we think that there must be something before that and something before that. We look back to the beginning of the earth, and scientists try to tell us that everything came into existence by chance. But we know in our minds that that can't be so. There has to be something intelligent which caused the universe to come into existence. And that person is God. And you think about the vast expanse of the universe, the vast power of each and every sun, every star in the night sky, each and every sun. How much immense power was needed to create all that. The man tries to tell us it's an explosion. Well, what happened before the explosion? It wasn't an explosion. It was God who created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. Another thing that man would seek to want is man is constantly seeking to find immortality. Man is constantly trying to find a way of living longer, if not indefinitely. That seems to be one of man's goals. When man these days thinks of what's going to happen when you get old, well, some people would say, well, science is improving, that perhaps I might die at a much later age, or maybe some people might even say they won't die at all because of science advancements. They're looking into, I was reading an article about jellyfish, saying that jellyfish have immortality, and that if man is able to harvest that immortality in some way, then we could be immortal as well. But, you know, the Bible makes it very clear to us that we cannot live forever on this earth. And the reason for that is because of sin. And I'd want to turn to another passage in Romans chapter 5. It's page 1354, Romans chapter 5, and verse 12. It says, "For this cause, even as by one man sin entered into the world, and by sin death, and thus death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible makes it very clear the reason why there is death in the world, the reason why people die, is because of sin, because of man's sin. Right, if you read on in that passage, it talks about Adam and the first man and how he sinned. That's the one man that it's talking about here. Adam sinned, and consequently everybody else following him sinned. And because of this, death came in, and we cannot live forever in this world. Why is that? Why is it that God brought in death because of sin? It's because God is a holy and righteous God, and He cannot abide with sin. Sin causes all kinds of grief and trouble in this world. And quite frankly, if man is not able to achieve immortality, but if he was, it would be an awful place to spend all eternity. Perhaps not as awful as hell, which I'll talk about later, but it's. This world would not be a great place to spend immortality with the sin and the suffering and the sorrow and the sadness that there is in this world, the pain and the grief, God has in mind for you, dear friend, something much greater than immortality here at this world. He has something much more in mind for you. And the things of this world are not eternal either. We look at things of this world and they don't exist forever, do they? Everything that we have in this world, it won't last. And I was drawn to another passage in Luke chapter 12. It's one of the parables that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16. This is Jesus now. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The land of a certain rich man brought forth abundantly. And he reasoned with himself, saying, 'What shall I do? For I have not a place where I shall lay up my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will take away my granaries and build greater. And there I lay up all my produce and my good things. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good things laid up for many years. Repose thyself, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said, 'Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall be what thou hast prepared?'" Important thing to remember in this life. Perhaps some of us realize that we can't have immorality, and perhaps some of us try and make something of this life, try and build ourselves up. Like this man in the parable, he decided to, he was a very ambitious man, and he'd been successful to a certain extent, and he was planning on being greater and being greater all the time. And he thought, perhaps that's the answer. If I can't live forever here, I might as well make the most of it. But God says quite simply, "Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Why do we think that was? Because this man had no regard for God in his life. The Bible says elsewhere, "A fool in his heart said there is no God," or something to that extent. And when we look into this world, we look into creation, we bear everything in mind. We have to admit that there is a God, and we have to admit that we need to answer to him for all the sin that's in our life. Everyone has sinned, as we read in the scripture earlier. Everyone has sinned. We need to have an answer to that sin. You see, God is an all-knowing God as well. Being eternal, being our creator, he knows everything that we've done. We can't tell him, "Well, I've been good," because all of us know in our lives. We might put on a face to other people. We might be able to make other people think that we're good, perhaps. But God knows all. He's an all-knowing God. He's not only is he eternal, but he knows everything. He knows everything before you're even going to do it. And we have to answer to him for that. I'd like to just read another passage of scripture, which is perhaps the most famous for talking about eternity, perhaps the most famous scripture in the Bible, of course, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the one who, as we see in this passage, he is the one who can give us eternal life. And he's the answer. How is that possible? Because he's been into death for us. He has suffered for us. He went through a very cruel time of suffering and pain for us when he went to that cross of Calvary. And he went into death for us. He was totally alone in death. He went into death and was punished for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He is the one who has secured for us eternal life. Why did he do this? It was totally in love and grace. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. And God, in his love and grace for us, has seen our need. He has met our need with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the provision of salvation for us in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary for us. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished a huge work, the greatest feat ever of going into death for us, to take on the punishment of our sins. If we put our trust in him, as John 3:16 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Whosoever believes on him may not perish. What we need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It's a matter of belief. Abraham believed in God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, says in the Old Testament. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And his saving grace, his love towards us is sufficient for each one of us to be saved from our sins. and bring us into an eternity in heaven, which is far greater than an eternity on earth, is an eternity in heaven. The other option, of course, I mentioned earlier, it is the option of eternal existence, if you like. It's eternity in hell. It's not eternal life, that's an eternal existence. It would be horrible. Eternal life on earth would be bad enough, but eternal life in hell I can't describe, because it'll be the worst possible option, not even worth consideration. You see, you have two options tonight. You either accept this free offer of salvation or you reject it. Whatever you do when you leave this room, you need to choose one of these. You can only choose one of these. If you choose to leave it to a later date, there might not be a chance in a later date. If you choose this evening to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then it's eternal life. If you decide to leave this room this evening, having not done that, then there's limited time, as no one knows how long they are to live on this earth. The Lord Jesus could come at any moment also. Not only is there the possibility of death at any moment, it sounds morbid, but there's also the possibility of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to take all those who believe in him to be with him. But thereby then it will be too late. It'll be too late to accept this free offer of salvation. And just in closing, I'd just like to read another one more verse in closing. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1. But the word of the Lord abides for eternity. But this world, which in the glad tidings is preached to you, that's what the beginning of John talks about. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. That's what's being preached to you this evening. The Lord abides for all eternity. If we put our trust in the Lord, He is one who can take us through all eternity. If we rely on Him totally. The hymn which we sang at the beginning, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. And that's all you need to do this evening, is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to feel your need of him, and to put your trust in him that he will take you through all eternity. When we reach eternity, if we've not put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will have to sit before a seat of judgment where we will not be able to stand. But if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will see us through. He will help us, and not only in the next world, but He also help us through this world. Spoke of how this world is often full of sorrow. We have happy times here in this world, but it's often full of sorrow, hardship and trial. The Lord Jesus Christ not only will take you into the next world, but he will help you through this world. If you rely totally on him. Because his love is the greatest that man has ever known. And his love can be relied upon. Many promises in the Bible, and many of these promises have been fulfilled. And it shows that we can rely on God. We can rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to see us through. Through the many prophecies, as you look into the Old Testament, you see many prophecies. Many fulfilled, some still being fulfilled today, and some to be fulfilled in the future. But this tells us that God can be relied on. And he is the one who can take us all the way through. And so I just pray this evening that each one of us here might accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour before it's too late.
Amen.